Good morning. Welcome to Senate Finance. Today is Wednesday, March 29th, 2017. The time is 9:04 a.m. I'm Co-Chairman Anna McKinnon. With me this morning, Co-Chairman Hoffman.
Good morning, Madam Chair.
Vice Chairman Bishop.
Good morning, Madam Chair.
Senator Von Imhoff.
Good morning, Madam Chair.
Majority Leader Michicki.
Good morning, Madam Chair.
Senator Olson.
Good morning, Madam Chair.
Senator Dunleavy. On today's agenda, we have SB 32. It's an act relating to biological products, relating to the practice of pharmacy, relating to the Board of Pharmacy, and providing for an effective date. Is there anything to come before the committee before we begin? Seeing and hearing then, I'd like to invite Senator Hughes and Amy Bushnell, staff to Senator Hughes, to the table. If you could introduce the bill for us, Senator Hughes, and then if we could do a sectional walkthrough, that would be helpful.
I'd be very happy to. Good morning, Chair McKinnon and members of the committee. Thank you for hearing SB 32, Prescriptions for Biological Products. I'm Shelley Hughes, representing District F, Palmer and Chugiak. SB 32, in a nutshell, will provide access, safe access, for Alaskans to a new affordable FDA-approved treatment option called interchangeable biologic products. And before I begin, I just want to put on the record, in case you haven't been able to go through your whole packet or didn't notice or some pages were sticking together, and that is that the State Medical Association and ASHNA, the Alaska State Hospital and Nursing Home Association, is supporting this bill. I just thought I'd bring that up. We're all familiar with generics, and current state law allows pharmacists to substitute low-cost generics for medications. Biologic products are a little bit different, and before we get into the mechanics of the bill, I just want to make sure everyone understands what they are. Typically, medicines are have chemical recipes, you might say, and so when a generic is created, it's 100% identical to the brand name product. Biologics are different because they are made from living cells, and those molecules are much more complex, and they cannot be 100% replicated identically. So biologics have been around for a while. Humira is a biologic product. Insulin is a biologic product. They're also unique in that they can be quite life-changing and are used for particularly debilitating conditions, such as rheumatoid arthritis, MS, lupus, cancer. So I'm bringing forward this bill because FDA is on the verge of creating a new category of medications called interchangeable biologic products. So I mentioned that biologic products themselves have been around a while, but now we have, as what happens in our evolving world where knowledge just ever increases and research increases, is we have a biosimilars that are being created. And a biosimilar, just as the name implies, is a similar version of the original biologic product. And so those have been around for a while, and our statutes do not address them. Now we have, within that biosimilar, a very specific category of biosimilars that are going to be interchangeable in that they will be like a generic that can be substituted for a medication. However, because they're not 100% copy, there's could be a very small variance. We need to tend to it in statute slightly differently, because now a pharmacist can, without notifying the doctor, without getting pre-authorization, can substitute a generic. With biologics, it's a little bit different, as I mentioned before, and so our bill will require that pharmacists notify the physician of any substitution of this category of interchangeable biologic products. Interchangeables is this new category, and it will be incredibly similar. In fact, clinically, it will have to, if a person is on the original, the results for someone who's on the interchangeable, there will be no clinical difference whether that whichever drug the person would take, or if the person bounced back and forth between the original and the interchangeable, there would be no difference between those three. So it, even though it's not a generic, it will be so close, it will be a gold standard. So you'll have your biosimilars who that may or may not be close clinically, but the interchangeables will. And because of this assurance, it is important that pharmacists can substitute these because often they're going to be more affordable. There actually is not, they are not yet FDA approved, so I want to make that point, but there are a number of them in the pipeline, and any day or any month, we're going to start seeing them available on the market. So you might ask, why do we need to address this now? We need to address it now because the Alaskans who are suffering from the kind of conditions, once they become available, we don't want them to have to wait another year and another legislative session because these are, as I said, quite life-changing. And you may hear testimony from some we have in prior committees who are on biologic products, and it really makes a difference. They can be pretty much almost bedridden, and a biologic product can and help them function quite normally again. So very important to patients. And so that lays the groundwork, Madam Chair, and I'm happy to answer questions, but we can also have my aide, Amy Bushnell, go through the sectional for you. And I ask you would be easy on her. This is her first bill and her first time before the Senate Finance Committee, Madam Chair.
Are there questions for Senator Hughes? Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Hughes, are you saying that the person has to request the essentially biologic as opposed to getting the what's prescribed by the prescription?
Thank you. Through the chair, Senator Olson, the way it would work is a doctor might prescribe a biologic. And then when the person would take their prescription to the pharmacist, the mm-hmm. pharmacist might be aware that he has a more affordable interchangeable once the FDA has approved these. And he or she, the pharmacist, could substitute that interchangeable and then would notify the physician. Now, that brings up a good point because the physician, if the physician does not want anything substitute, as you are probably aware, the physician can write
no substitution.
Dispense as written. That's the term. Dispense as written. And they could also, if they're curious, if there is a biologic, an interchangeable available, they could write dispense as written, call if substitution. And that way the doctor retains full control. So that this does not change that. But if what we're hearing and the State Medical Association had that discussion too is that, they want their patients to be have access to these more affordable new interchangeables, and so prior authorization would be required, just a notification. And typically, most pharmacies, that's going to be electronic as they're processing. It'll shoot out the notification. There are some small pharmacies where they might have to send a fax or make a phone call, and the bill allows for time to do that.
Just so I'm clear, Senator Hughes, a pharmacist cannot on his own substitute without the patient specifically request a biologic. Is that true or not true?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, the patient doesn't have to request it, but the patient could say, no, I just want the original biologic product. So the patient retains control as well as the physician by writing dispenses written.
Senator Olson?
No further questions along that line, Madam Chair.
Senator Von Imhoff.
Thank you. We heard this bill in the HES committee, and there was definitely a rich and robust discussion on it. I think one of the several of the issues that I'd just like to bring up is that these interchangeables will be FDA approved. It's not just any interchangeable. They are FDA approved, which goes through a pretty stringent process. Secondly, yes, there is flexibility for the doctor or for the patient to specifically state, no, I don't want to have an interchangeable. I think, though, the important part is that the pharmacist, if he has a 3-day window under this bill by which to, correct me if I'm wrong, Senator Hughes, to make the decision that he or she feels that an interchangeable would be appropriate within this narrow scope, has 3 days to notify the doctor, but I believe before dispensing it must tell the patient at the time when they have a consult at the window. Can't just arbitrarily exchange drug A with drug B without telling the patient. He or she must, the pharmacist actually must say to the patient, I am making this recommendation to interchange it, and I have 3 days to tell your doctor. At that point, the conversation can go any number of ways. The patient could, as my understanding, refuse to take the drug at this point, agree to take the drug, and then follow up with the doctor later. There is some flexibility there, correct?
Through the chair, Senator Van Imhoff, that is correct. The patient would be informed and could refuse it and request just the original biologic product. And if I may, Senator McKinnon, I did want to point out there's some history that might be helpful as this has been worked on across the nation, knowing that any day now these are going to be available. There was quite a robust discussion between physicians or other types of prescribers, whether nurse practitioners, PAs, and the pharmacists, because originally the physicians wanted to require prior authorization. And as MDs and DOs, you know, they're in charge of their patient. On the other hand, the pharmacists were, well, you know, we are well qualified. We're PhDs. We shouldn't have to stop while the patient is there, try to get a hold of the physician to get that permission. That's not going to work. And they didn't want to have to do that. So the notification was the consensus language that has been worked out between the physician groups and the pharmacists. And interestingly, a lot of the up-and-coming younger doctors who see in different places around the world where this is working really well, and even here in Alaska, have the discussion that they actually feel comfortable without the notification. But we kept the notification in there because, as I explained before, these are not identical recipes like generics, and we think that it's important for the doctor to know that if a substitution is made. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator Hughes. Senator Von Imhoff.
yes, thank you. I would like to add that legislation similar to this one being presented has already passed in 26 states, and I believe that this has been occurring in Europe already successfully for many, many years.
Senator Hughes?
Through the chair, yes.
Thank you. Are we ready to do a walkthrough on the sectional?
Madam Chair, I do have one other question.
Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Hughes, one of the questions I have was that there was a letter of opposition from the pharmacy people. I was wondering what specifically were they at? Why were they opposed to it? Or was it mainly because of the notification that you alluded to already?
Through the chair, thank you, Senator Olson, for the question. I do believe that there was concern about the notification requirement because that's not normally something that they do. I believe that was really the bottom line. And that has been something across the country. And the notification, though, as I said earlier, has been worked out where it's streamlined, and by giving the 3 days, it's quite workable.
Mm-hmm. So. Last question, Madam Chair.
Senator Olson.
There are three boards here in the state of Alaska that are overseeing prescriptive authority. Obviously, the PAs have prescriptive authority, but they're under the Alaska State Medical Board. Has the nurse practitioners, who also are eligible for a DEA number, did they either support, or did you get an opinion on whether they support or oppose it?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, I'll have to check with my staff on that if we've heard from the nurse practitioners, have we?
Bushnell,
if you comment, would you put your name on the record and then?
For the record, my name is Amy Bushnell. I'm a staff to Senator Hughes. Senator Olson, through the chair, I've been approached by nurse practitioners asking if other groups had supported it. They did not express any opposition or support, more of a neutral standing, but they haven't submitted anything formally.
Senator Olson, follow up.
Which is essentially the same that the medical board did, isn't it?
The state medical board actually did put a letter, Senator Olson, to the chair. The Alaska State Medical Board did submit a letter of neutrality.
Right.
So.
No further questions, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator Olson. With that, Ms. Bushnell, would you walk us through the sectional analysis so the public can understand the documents before us?
Madam Chair, Section 1 of SB 32 requires that the pharmacy board post a link to the FDA's list of all currently approved interchangeable biological products on the board's website. Section 2 requires certain information be included on the label when the product is dispensed. Section 3 on page 2 provides definitions of the required labeling information in Section 2.
Amy, I'm having a little bit of difficulty hearing you. Could you put the microphone a bit closer?
Is this better?
Please continue.
Okay. Section 3 on page 2 provides definitions for the required labeling information in Section 2. Section 4, this is the substantive provision addressing substitution for interchangeable biological products. It prevents substitution if the prescriber indicates dispense only as written. This is similar to what is already on law for generic chemical drugs. It also provides that a pharmacist who substitutes a biologic in compliance with this section and the law incurs no greater liability than will be incurred in filing the original prescription. This is similar to what is already on law for generic chemical drugs. Section 5 provides that communication and record-keeping requirements if an interchangeable is substituted. Section 6 on page 3, this simply adds interchangeable biological products to the meaning of substitute. Section 7 is the definition of biological products and interchangeable biological product to comport with federal law. Section 8 on page 4 adds transition regulations necessary to implement changes, and Section 9 and 10 provide effective dates for the Act.
Are there questions on the structure of the bill? Seeing and hearing none, thank you for introducing your bill. Senator Hughes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to make one addition because we did receive a letter of neutrality from the State Medical Association initially, and then on March 12th, they did submit a letter actually of support of the bill.
Thank you, Senator Hughes.
Madam Chair,
Ms. Bushnell,
I'd like to offer a correction to Senator Von Imhoff. It is now 29 other states in Puerto Rico that have passed legislation, and there are two that have passed legislation that will be going on to their governor to sign into law. So.
Thank you for your comments this morning. With that, I'd like to open the public hearing on Senate Bill 32. Brief at ease. We're back on the record. I do have, we received a list from the sponsor for folks that wanted to testify today. The first person waiting to testify on Senate Bill 32, an act relating to biological products, is Ryan Hanks. Ryan, if you could identify yourself for the record, any affiliation, and then please proceed with 3 minutes of testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Senate Finance Committee for hearing this bill today. My name is Rylan Hanks, R-Y-L-A-N-H-A-N-K-S. I'm a Director of Regulatory Policy with Amgen. We are a global biotechnology company that makes both innovator molecules as well as biosimilars. I'm also a pharmacist by training, having practiced in a retail pharmacy setting. And finally, was formerly with the Food and Drug Administration and the Office of Generic Drugs. I'm calling in today in strong support of Senate Bill 32. As you heard from Senator Hughes, these medicines, these biosimilars, are coming to market currently. There's 4 approved biosimilars with another 10 in the pipeline for approval. FDA has also recently issued guidance around interchangeable biologic products, and we expect those to soon start hitting the market as well as FDA starts to lay out the guidelines for those. So here we need to update the state laws in each state to allow for these new class of medicines to be issued in, to allow for pharmacists to appropriately utilize these medicines, to ensure that good communication happens between healthcare providers and the care of their patients, and support around patient safety provisions such as notification and pharmacovigilance practices. So again, we're strongly in support of SB 32. Thank you so much.
Ryland, thank you for testifying before Senate Finance today. Are there questions from committee members? Seeing and hearing none, the next person online is Jeannie Monk. Jeannie, are you there? Sorry, I've got a little phone. I've got a phone next to my.
Good morning. For the record, my name is Jeannie Monk, and I am the Vice President of Policy at the Alaska State Hospital and Nursing Home Association. Upon learning of this bill earlier this year, ASHNA consulted with our hospital-based pharmacists and physicians to ensure that the bill would supply the guidance needed to ensure safe and effective treatments for patients, while providing the potential to lower pharmaceutical costs. Following this consultation, we made the decision to support the bill. Critical to our support for this legislation are the specific communication requirements and timelines for pharmacists associated with dispensing biosimilar medication. The legislation includes a 3-day timeline for pharmacists to notify the prescribing physician and offers flexibility in communication methods to meet the needs of pharmacists in a variety of settings. We believe that SB 32 strikes the right balance between notification and communication. Biosimilars and interchangeable biological products offer potential for increasing accessibility and affordability as they provide competition for biological drugs in a similar way that generic drugs do for brand name. We believe that SB 32 protects patients and will benefit the state of Alaska. So we are in support of this legislation. Please let us know if there's anything we can do to support this legislation moving forward. Thank you for the opportunity to testify.
Are there questions from committee members? Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Monka, since you're with the ASHNA, are you familiar with what goes on out in rural Alaska and some of the health corporations that are out there?
To the Chair, Senator Olson, a little bit.
Okay. Have you ever been out there?
I have. I was actually just in Bethel about 2 weeks ago.
Okay. What is the, and I probably should have asked the sponsor, what has been the disposition of the health corporations related to biologics?
We shared the information with all of our members and the pharmacists, and we actually didn't receive any specific comments from any of the tribal organizations. Nobody expressed any concerns.
At all?
At all, yeah.
So if there's an adverse reaction out there with somebody that goes into anaphylaxis, because we're dealing with living cells that are out there and they have an antigen that's may cause a reaction, there wasn't a concern over that?
Like I said, there was no concern expressed about the language in the bill and the notification and the process of using these. So I'm not a medical provider, so I can't speak to the risks, but nobody had any concerns about those risks that they told us.
No further questions, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator Olson. The next person waiting to testify is off-net, is Mark. Is it Guyman? Mark, if you could identify yourself for the record, any affiliation, and then please proceed with 3 minutes of testimony.
Sure. Madam Chair, this is Mark Guyman. I'm the Director of State Legislative Affairs for the Arthritis Foundation, and we are in complete and full support of Senate Bill 32. Our perspective in the arthritis community is biologics really change lives. It can be the difference between the child being in a wheelchair or somebody being on disability and working. So we want to see that these medications are available in the marketplace. One of the things that I think is important for everyone to understand about biologics and then come along biosimilars is these are not medications that you really go to your corner drugstore and pick up. In fact, in Alaska, the average retail pharmacy dispenses about 1,100 medications per week, and these are only 13 of that entire 1,100. Biologics are 100% either injected or IV infused. They are made from living cells. They do need specialized handling for temperature control. So these are not medications that are just going to be out there picking up at the corner pharmacy. Because these medications are so complex, they are, in fact, very expensive. Biosimilars offer the promise of a lesser-priced medication, similar to what we've seen in the generics market. The Arthritis Foundation believes that the communication component between the pharmacist and the prescriber is an essential part of the bill. And every bill that's been enacted in the past few years has that communication provision in there. So Alaska would be consistent with just about every other state at this point in time. It's important to understand why the communication is important in the arthritis population. The majority of our population, the rheumatoid arthritis that's taken biologics, also have comorbidities. So they have other multiple chronic conditions. So it's important for the prescriber to know what exact medication was given, because it may not just be for the arthritis in our case, but it could be referenced to other comorbidities. So we fully support the communication requirement as it is in the bill, and of course the bill as a whole on behalf of the Arthritis Foundation. Thank you.
Are there questions from committee members? Seeing and hearing none, the next person waiting to testify is Ashton Antonelli. Ashton, are you there?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much. I appreciate your time. My name is Ashlyn Antonelli. I am from East Anchorage, Alaska. We had 9 inches of snow last night, so I barely got into work. I had a brain tumor, and I've had a couple chronic pain ailments, which are two autoimmune disorders. It's common to have more than one at a time. My next course of therapy, it includes biologics, and I would like all the FDA-approved biosimilar options available to me and my doctor for consideration. If my doctor hasn't prevented the substitution by writing dispense as written, and if this is FDA-approved interchangeable available to me, I would really like to have that option, provided I consent to it without having to delay to go back and talk to my doctor. If they're really that concerned, they can specifically write dispense as written. I do want the substitution recorded. Yes, I do. I'd like that record available to my doctor for future reference if need be. I do agree with the bill specifically, on the 3-day after dispensing rule. And I would like this available to me now. I really don't want to have to wait for future legislation and waste more of committee time in an area of time where we don't have time to wait. As of today, subject to 2 governor signatures, we do have, 29 states have approved this similar legislation, and if these 2 other signatures that are pending out there, it would mean that 31 states have approved and passed similar legislation. So I strongly encourage you to pass this legislation so that Alaskans have these options and hopefully have cheaper options available here in Alaska. For me personally, if this legislation doesn't pass, it'll cost me $2,000 a year to get one biologic. And I can't afford that. I simply can't. I do believe, Senator Olson, you had a question about anaphylactic shock. I have been on a biosimilar, and these biosimilars are very slow moving, and it took 6 weeks before I actually saw a full body rash. So it's not something that happens immediately and probably wouldn't happen within the 3 days of letting my doctor know what I was on, if that helps any. And thank you for your time.
Ashlyn, thank you for calling in to Senate Finance today. Are there questions from committee members? Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Antonelli, can you just give me you said you had a reaction to it, and that was a rash that developed some time later. Is that true?
Yes. So my understanding from my doctor is the things that you have to look for is redness in the skin. I ended up having a rash on my hands and having it was itchy, and I had to go see a specialist for that and get put on another drug to counteract that. But these drugs, they're live cells, so they're very, very, very slow moving. My throat didn't close up or anything. It just started off as a very slow full body rash. It took about 6 weeks before the rash actually showed up. So within that, I am 100% sure within the 3 days of dispensing and letting my doctor know what's going on, my doctor will be informed of what medication I'm on.
Ms. Antonelli, are you familiar with HLA-B27?
No, sir.
Okay. And how do you know that the biologic was the cause of the rash is my real question.
Because the way that my doctor's the two drugs that I'm on, they were staggered when I started them. So the first drug that I was on put on because I don't create any serotonin with Cymbalta. And then after the Cymbalta came in, 6 months later, they added a different drug. So these doctors, they tend to time these drugs just right so that they know what the culprit would be.
No further questions, Madam Chair.
Thank you for calling in today. The next next person waiting to testify is Robert Toms. Robert?
Yes, Senator McKinnon. I'd like to say hi to our local Senator Mike Dunleavy, great guy. My name is Robert Toms. I live in Wasilla. People know me as Cajun Bob. I'm a Vietnam combat veteran. I'm a recipient of 6 Purple Hearts and the Silver Star Medal. I also have 2 Bronze Stars. I've had chronic pain for over 45 years. 5 years ago, I was diagnosed with severe rheumatoid arthritis. My wife, Cindy Caserta, sitting to my left, who is my caregiver and also is a chronic pain patient. And we testified in the first committee, I think it was Commerce. I was originally put on a medication that wasn't a biologic. And after 3 years, it literally almost killed me. I was then prescribed a biologic, Humira, 2 years ago. I went from totally bedridden to now enjoying a functional life. Although I'm not 100%, I can do things like shopping at Fred Meyer here in Wasilla. Humira has changed my life. In fact, it literally saved my life. I don't know how to put it any stronger but to say that this biologic was a miracle. Although it's been working for me for almost 2 years now, I don't know that it will always work. I was on an allergy medication a while back that eventually stopped working and then was put on a substitute that started working immediately. I'm told the same thing can happen with biologics like Humira. If it stops working, I want to immediately have any available approved substitutions. In the first committee, one of the questioners asked, that wasn't one of the senators, but one of the questioners asked, what's the rush for this bill? And I wish they would have asked me what the rush was. We need this bill now so that if and when substitutes are approved by the FDA, they are immediately available to chronic pain patients and other sufferers. Alaskans shouldn't have to wait for legislation to pass, God knows when, in the future. On behalf of myself and my wife, please pass Senate Bill 32. Thank you. My wife, Cindy Caserta, is here, and she'd like to say a few words.
Cindy, is this Cindy Kastner?
Yes.
Cindy, go ahead. If you'd identify yourself for the record, and then please proceed with your testimony.
Yes. My name is Cindy Caserta, and I'm a resident of Wasilla. I'm also Bob's wife and caregiver and an advocate for the U.S. Pain Foundation who supports this bill fully. And I thank you for allowing us to speak today on this important issue. Senate Bill 32 would help all the people like Bob who need these biologics and biosimilars. And they need them now, immediately. They need the access. At any point, something like the Humira can't work. And I've seen Bob go downhill before on a medication, and I've seen him come back uphill after 2 years. Of being in 3 years being in bed. And so I ask that you approve of this so that other Alaskans may have this life-saving medications. Thank you.
Thank you for testifying before Senate Finance. Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Actually, just a comment to the gentleman, Mr. Tom. Just want to thank him for his service to us, those of us that are old enough to remember the Vietnam War. I just want to wish him a happy Vietnam Veterans Day today.
Thank you, Senator Olson. I would state that for the entire committee. Thank you for your service to our country. Next person waiting to testify is Kelly McClellan. Kelly, are you there?
Yeah, my name is Carrie McClellan, and I live in Anchorage. I've been in Alaska for 35 years. I'm a two-time cancer survivor, and am hoping you'll get this passed as soon as possible to benefit Alaskans. And cost savings, it has helped. I had colon cancer, and I had liver metastasis, and I know that it has been biologically have been used for other colon cancer survivors. So I just want to reiterate that it needs to be passed as soon as possible. If my cancer returns, I would like to have an immediate option of going to a local place to get that rather than R48. Thank you very much.
Carrie, thank you for calling in and testifying today.
You bet.
Other questions from committee members? Is there anyone else here in Juneau wishing to testify on Senate Bill 32? Anyone off-net or online? Seeing and hearing none, the public hearing is closed for Senate Bill 32, an act relating to biological products. Senator Olson, can we look at the fiscal note? I'm sorry, Senator Olson. Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senate Bill 32, previous fiscal note applies. Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development, appropriation is corporation, businesses, and professional licensing. Allocation is corporations, businesses, and professional licensing, and the OMB component number is 2360. The cost is $4,500. If this bill passes, the division will require $4,500 for legal costs to amend regulations, printing, postage, et cetera, in the first year. Also, the professional licensing programs within the division of corporation boards and businesses, professional licensing are funded by receipt supported services. That's the fund source, 1156 receipt services, DGF, designated general funds. And licensing fees for each occupation are set as per AS 08.01.065. So the total amount of revenue collected approximately equals the occupation's actual regulatory cost. So that's it.
Are there questions on the fiscal note, Senator Dunleavy?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Given our fiscal situation, it's only $4,500, but I would suggest, if possible, that we just take that money from the Board of Pharmacy. Has a carryover of $544,000 in their account, that we could possibly take it out of that as opposed to GF.
There is no GF in this item, Senator Dunleavy.
It's directly out of this? Okay.
It's designated general fund receipts, but we'll take a look at that and see if there's a way that that can be reduced or incorporated in. Other questions regarding the fiscal note? Is there a discussion on the bill? If you could, amendments are due by Friday at 5 p.m. If there's any additional information you need the committee to provide for your deliberations, please advise me no later than Friday at 5 p.m. Anything else to come before the committee today? This afternoon at 3:30, we'll have a joint Senate and Finance Joint Senate, a resource and finance presentation on world oil and gas markets, the impact on Alaska by Marianne Kaa, Chief Economist for ConocoPhillips.
Thank you.
With that, we're adjourned.